All right, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. If you're with us for the first time this morning, we teach verse by verse exposition. So we start at chapter 1, verse 1 in a particular book of the Bible, and we explain every verse all the way through till we get to the end of that book. And this morning brings us to verse 8. The title of the message this morning is Purpose in a Palace. Purpose in a Palace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for everyone who's here this morning. I thank you, Father, for those who are tuned in online right now as well, and how precious it is to me to see them, just like looking out, Father, on the audience and seeing them here. And I pray, Father, for each and every person this morning, that you'll take our distractions of this world away from us and set our eyes on you and feed us with the bread of heaven. Lord, we pray it in Jesus' wonderful name, the one who feeds his sheep. Amen. In the previous verses, we saw that the king of Babylon had appointed food and wine for the people of Judah, those that he had captured and taken as his servants. We also saw that the servants of kings eat the food of the kings they serve. That was an important principle that we learned. Even as God also has appointed us, his servants, to eat and drink of the food and wine that he partakes of with us. We saw that the gospel is the food and drink that God has appointed us. Praise the Lord. I love feeding on the gospel, don't you? Oh, do I love feeding on the gospel. Jesus said, his body is our bread, and his blood is our wine, and by that food we joyfully live and serve our king. The king of Babylon did not belong to the kingdom of God, however. He worshipped and served false gods. And Daniel and his godly companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did not serve those false gods. They served the one true God. And King Nebuchadnezzar, by his chief eunuch, we saw, changed those godly men's names, names that glorified their relationship with God. He changed their names, but we learned last week he couldn't change their identity. In remembering their true identity as God's servants, the ungodly king, when he supplied these godly men a portion of his own meat to eat, he supplied that meat, look now in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now here's what we learn. Now remember, Nebuchadnezzar represents the prince of this world, who's the devil. Jesus called him the God of this world. And he represents the prince of this world, the kingdom of the fallen race of men. And Daniel and his servants represent people who belong to the kingdom of God, but who have to occupy, who have to live in and among ungodly people while waiting on their king. I'm waiting on my king. I can't wait for Jesus to come. But in the meantime, we have to live among ungodly people who serve and live as part of an ungodly kingdom. And so the king had a plan. His plan was to nourish, was to have these men consume the food that he wanted them to eat. The God of this world also has a plan. He wants us to be nourished by consuming the food that he has for us to eat. The problem is that food is not good for us. We need to feed on the food that God has for us. And the world always has something for our consumption, doesn't it? And it's get filthier and filthier the further we go in into the future, unfortunately. But the king had a plan, but Daniel had a purpose. He purposed in his heart. Underscore that word purposed in the Bible. The king planned to feed them with his own meat, but Daniel purposed in his heart to not eat anything that God did not approve of. Boy, I tell you what, you remember that the next time you sit in front of the television. You remember that the next time you plan on going to the movies. You remember that the next time you plan on surfing the internet? The next time you plan on listening to the radio? We should not consume anything that God has not given us to eat. To purpose in his heart means Daniel determined in his heart to abide by God's word rather than the king's word. Here's the kingdom truth for you this morning. When you're bound to your circumstance, remain guided by your purpose. When you're bound to your circumstance, remain guided by your purpose. Right now, we're bound to the circumstances of our lives. Four years, we've had to watch foolish people run and ruin our country. But you know what? There's not a thing in the world you can do about it. For years now, longer than 4 years, we've had to endure and watch our nation marry two men together. Nothing you can do about it. But when you're bound to your circumstance, you've got to remain guided by your purpose. And that's what Daniel was doing here. In this case, Daniel purposed in his heart, look back in your text, that he would not defile himself. That was Daniel's purpose. The Hebrew word translated defile here has the idea of separation. And the reason it has the idea of separation is because when you're polluted, then you're separated. You're polluted, you're separated. Could you imagine going out and getting all hot and sweaty and smelly and dirty? And your wife is all clean and pretty and dressed up when you come home. And you walk in hot and sweaty and smelly and dirty, and she just got out of the shower. She has a nice, clean, beautiful dress on. She's all made up. Could you imagine just going over there with all your dirty clothes and just giving her a hug and kiss? Is that what you do, Brother Doug, when you come in? You don't do it. Sheila, you don't let him do that? So you see the idea here of defilement. That's pollution causing separation. Now you think of the beautiful wife that's clean with a beautiful dress on and the man that's dirty with, you know, filth on his outward body. And then you think of a righteous and a holy God. And that righteous and holy God is much more pure, much more clean, much more undefiled than us, than that wife. In sin is much more filthy than any kind of dirt or contamination or body odor we could have on us. And so this is the idea with defilement. Daniel didn't want to be defiled because he didn't want anything in his life that put division between him and God. You know, that's a purpose in his heart. We need to have that purpose as well. If a man was defiled under God's law in the Old Testament, he couldn't eat the holy things, and he couldn't participate in certain holy functions. He couldn't go into the tabernacle. And that was a picture back then of our broken fellowship with God due to sin. Sin is unclean. Sin defiles the child of God. Sin makes us unfit to stand in God's presence. So to teach the Israelites that principle, and to thus teach us that principle, to teach us that all uncleanness must be washed away for our fellowship with God to be restored, God ordained certain things in the Old Testament law to be clean and unclean. Certain things that were clean would have to be enjoyed, and certain things that were unclean would have to be washed away. There had to be some kind of cleansing, some kind of washing away of that filth by that Old Testament law. If you ate or carried an unclean animal, for example, that had been killed, say you went out hunting and you took back a wild hog, or you took a rabbit, or you took something that you were not supposed to eat, something that was deemed unclean under the Old Testament law, and you carried that back home. Leviticus 11:25 says, "And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them," that is the unclean animals, "shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. I mean, in other words, the rest of the day, you're unclean. Just touching it, just carrying it, you are unclean. You wash your clothes and get yourself clean, and you're going to be unclean until the even. In the Old Testament, God gave Israel a comprehensive list of clean and unclean animals. And God deemed that animal to be clean. When he did, they could eat it. And when God deemed an animal to be unclean, they couldn't eat it. They couldn't touch it. God gave them this law to teach them and to teach us the important principle that an unclean man can't enter into the presence of a holy God. Leviticus 11, 46 through 47. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference. This is the reason for the law, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. That's the beautiful thing God taught them. There's some that are clean. There is something that is unclean. And if you get defiled, then you have to have that filth washed away, or you're not getting near me. Thank God for the scripture in the book of the Revelation, which was a fulfillment of all that Old Testament law, when they said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus' death on the cross did something that those Old Testament washings could not do. And eating an animal that was considered unclean caused a man to be defiled, meaning his association with the unclean animal caused him to be unclean for the rest of the day. So if you ate unclean animals every day, then you'd continually be unclean according to the Old Testament law. And that was something Daniel had determined in his heart that he was not going to do. And that is something that we should purpose in our hearts that we're not going to do. Now remember, the clean and unclean animals, that doesn't apply to us today. It was just an illustration God gave to show them the difference between cleanliness and uncleanliness. And Jesus came and he explained all of that. He said, it's not that which goes into your body that defiles you. It's that which comes from your heart. That's what really needs to be washed away. And that's something all those washings with water in the Old Testament, including John the Baptist's washing with baptism, could not do. It could not wash the heart. I don't want anything in my life that's going to hinder my walk and my fellowship with God. I don't want anything like that. Yes, praise God, we'll always be saved and forgiven by the sacrifice that Jesus made. But I'd rather live like David when he fought triumphantly against Goliath than live like David when the world was crumbling around him because of his sin with Bathsheba. He was saved in both circumstances. He was justified by his faith in the coming Savior. But one was living in victory. The other was walking in shame and defeat. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be defiled. And we as children of God should purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves. Look back in your text with the portion of the king's meat. With the portion of the king's meat. When you're looking at television, you see these commercials come on and it's just filthiness. Things that they advertise today that I you would have even imagined being on TV when I was growing up. But you see all the filthiness come out. You see all the junk pop up on social media. You see all this junk. That is the king's meat. That is the God of this world cooking in hell's kitchen something for your consumption. He wants you to feed on it that you may live by it. God says, no, that's unclean. Don't eat the portion of the king's meat. You eat the portion of the king's meat. You eat the portion of the king's meat that God gives you from heaven. That way you live by God's Word, you think according to God's Word, and that is how we are to live. That's what doesn't defile us. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not eat the portion of the king's meat. The next time you're tempted to look at something you shouldn't look at, listen to something you shouldn't listen to, have something on that shouldn't be on in your home, you think to yourself, I am purposed in my heart, I am not going to defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. The Babylonians didn't follow God's Old Testament law. They ate things that were considered by God's law to be unclean. Daniel knew this. So Daniel knew that the king's kitchen would be unclean. Once you had unclean animals in the kitchen, the whole kitchen was unclean. Under the Old Testament law, if unclean meat, such as pork, if it were to touch something, then whatever it touched would be unclean. So you're preparing pork in the king's kitchen. You're preparing beef or venison or something that they could eat under the Old Testament law in the kitchen. Doesn't matter. The whole thing's contaminated. All of that meat is contaminated. And Daniel knew this. It would be the case. And so God anticipated it too. And so, in fact, in speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel, now we're dealing with Judah right now in the book of Daniel, but dealing with the northern kingdom of Israel, God said in Hosea 9:3, now that takes us back to the book we just left, right? God said in Hosea 9:3, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. It happened to Israel, and now it was happening to Judah. Not only was it unclean because of the kind of animals that were being butchered and eaten, but it was unclean because the animals had been sacrificed to Babylonian gods. And Daniel wanted no part of that. Daniel had to eat, of course. You got to eat. But he didn't have to defile himself doing so. There are choices we can make in life, you know. Even though Daniel was living among unclean people, he purposed in his heart that he would not be an unclean man. How many of y'all live among unclean people? You go to work, they got filthy mouths, they got filthy minds, and you got to live among this stuff. I've had a lot of men come up to me and say, man, it's so hard for me when I go to work and having to be around all this junk. Hear all this stuff, be exposed to all these things. You can't escape it. We're living among unclean people. But we have to purpose in our hearts that we're not going to be one of them. Here's a kingdom truth for you this morning. We have to live with unclean people, but we don't have to partake of their unclean things. We have to live with unclean people, but we don't have to partake of their unclean things. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would follow God's word regardless of what the rest of the kingdom was doing. Now notice that Daniel purposed in his heart before the king's meat was served to him. He hadn't yet had to eat the king's meat. He just knew it was coming. And so Daniel thought, you know what? I don't care if I starve to death. I am not going to defile myself by eating that meat that's been sacrificed to idols, that comes from unclean animals. I don't want to do anything to break my fellowship with God under His law. He purposed this in his heart before the king's meat was served to him. And that tells us the time to determine your standards is when you're in prayer with God, not when you're at the table with your friends. The time to determine your standards is when you're in prayer with God, not when you're at the table with your friends and that king's meat is being served to you. The time to decide to follow God is before you face temptation, not when you face temptation. Man, that's not the time to make that decision. That decision needs to already be made. And Daniel teaches us that here in God's Word. Daniel had a purpose in the palace, and so must we. He purposed to not defile himself with the king's meat, look back in your text, nor with the wine which he drank. So meat and wine. because wine was poured out also as a sacrifice to the false gods. Y'all ever heard the word libation? That's what that is. So they would take a portion of the wine, and they would pour it out as a drink offering, pour it out to their false gods. And that was the way they did it. It's similar to a wave offering in the Old Testament, where they would take food and they'd wave it to God. But here with the wine, they'd pour it out to God. So the meat and the wine, the meat and the drink, would have defiled Daniel being offered to the false god. Exodus chapter 29, verse 41. Exodus 29, 41. And the other lamb, God said, thou shalt offer at even, and thou shalt and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning and according to the drink offering thereof for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So we see God mentioning a drink offering here in the Bible. And these idolaters would take a sample of that wine, they would pour it out to their false god, and Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with either the meat or with that drink. Look back in your text. Therefore, he requested. He put in a request. Now, I want you to notice that Daniel requested. Daniel did not demand. This was Daniel's attitude when he was in the king's palace. This has to be the Christian's attitude in the king's palace as well. Daniel knew whose kingdom he was in. So what did he do? He did what Jesus said. He rendered to Caesar the things that were Caesar's and to God the things that were God's. He rendered honor to whom honor was due in that kingdom. And we have to do the same. Don't go around acting all holier than thou and upping it up and I'm better than you and demanding your rights and all those other things. Be respectful whenever you exercise your godly standards. Always be respectful. Daniel knew that God had set those ungodly people over him. That was God's judgment. That's the reason Babylon had taken Judah captive to begin with, because of Judah's sin. So Daniel knew that God had set those ungodly people over him at that time, so he was respectful to them, but at the same time, he was unwavering in his obedience to God. So have that humble attitude, but have that purpose in your heart at the same time. I'm going to be submitted to my God, but I'm going to be respectful to the earthly authorities that I'm having to work under or work with. So Daniel requested, look back in your text, what did he request? Daniel requested of the prince of the eunuchs. That means Daniel went to the proper authority. He went to the proper chain. The prince of the eunuchs was his immediate supervision. So Daniel has this standard issue. And so what he does, he says, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put in this proper request. Let's say that you work at Walmart. There we had a couple here that years and years ago, the woman, the wife, never came to church unless one of her family members was playing a special on the piano. She'd always be able to get off of work for that. Other than that, she couldn't come to work. She had to work at Walmart on Sundays. And I said, well, what about Wednesday night? And they got real quiet, you know. You come to church on Wednesday? Never did. But you know what? When you say you're working at Walmart and they got you working on Sundays, you know what you do? You don't say, I'm not working on Sundays. I'm a child of God. Well, you go about it with that attitude, they may never schedule you working or being off on Sunday. But you go with the proper attitude through the proper channels. That's what we're seeing with Daniel. And you go and you say, you know what? I'm determined in my heart. You know, I've got this sincerely held religious belief, is how they word it today. And I'm requesting accommodation because I really don't want to work on Sundays. I'm determined that I'm going to be in the house of God with my family, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, a while back, and there are exceptions, I understand. When I was a highway patrolman, I had to work on Sundays. Somebody's got to go work those crashes. Luke, our song leader, sometimes he has to work on Sundays because if you have a heart attack, you want somebody to be in the emergency room to help you on Sunday. We understand that, and God understands that. Brother Shepherd, our associate pastor, sheriff's deputy, he doesn't work on Sundays. He won't work on Sundays. And the sheriff's department has honored that request. And recently he promoted, and he was willing to work all night long, graveyard shift, so he could be in church on Wednesday nights. And because of his attitude with his supervision, when it came time to the shift, they accommodated him. And they said, working this shift, that'll allow you to go to church on Wednesday nights, Andy. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good to have not a battle with your employer, but a relationship with them? Isn't it better, instead of being offensive to those authorities over you, that you end up being a testimony and a witness for God to those authorities over you? That's what Daniel wanted to do. And you know what? Because of how Daniel responded in these circumstances, going through the proper authorities with the proper attitude, trusting in his God and determining in his heart, there's some things he's not going to do. But instead of going in there all bullheaded, he went in there with hat in hand, giving them the respect and the authority that concerning the authority that they deserve that was due to them. And later on, we're going to see in the book of Daniel, God used Daniel to be a great testimony in that kingdom. And that could have destroyed it had he not done that. But he goes to the prince of the eunuchs. He politely requests to the proper channels, the proper way concerning his Christian convictions on the job in the king's palace. Daniel maintained his standards while maintaining his respect. So always be respectful of inferior authority when you are yielding to superior authority. I'll repeat that again. Always be respectful to inferior authority when you're yielding to superior authority. Our goal is not to insult, is to obey and be a witness for Jesus. So Daniel requested, look back in your text, that he might not defile himself. He explained his dilemma to the prince of the eunuchs. He explained his dilemma to the boss. He let him know that the king's meat and wine would defile him according to God's law. He let him know that he would serve the king of Babylon. I'll do my job, but ultimately I am a servant of the Most High God. And this gave Daniel the opportunity to stand out from the rest of the people while standing up as a servant of God. And from this time forward, for better or for worse, Daniel would be known as a man who feared the Lord. What Daniel went through was written as an example to us. Though we are not defiled with unclean animals anymore, we are defiled by living with unclean people and the thinking of unclean people. And as Daniel determined to not defile himself with their portion, we have to determine to do the same in our day. This was made in a practical point in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. Where we're told, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, or because of this, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Watch this now. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, everything we're reading about in Daniel, we're not just reading some story of something that happened to some unfortunate fellow years ago. We're reading the story of our lives. The king of Babylon represents the devil. The kingdom of Babylon represents this fallen world. Daniel and his godly friends represent the church that is bound to live in this ungodly environment. But God says, while you're living in this ungodly environment, you make sure to touch not the unclean thing. As they couldn't eat the holy things when they were unclean in the Old Testament, so we can't feed on the holy things when we defile ourselves in the New Testament. How many of y'all have ever got caught up in sin? Let me back up a little bit. This is even worse. How many of y'all have ever had sweet, intimate fellowship with God? I mean, you're feeding on God's Word. You feel like God's so close to you. You're thanking God for all that Jesus has done for you. Oh, you and God seem so close. Time passes. Maybe a little later in the day. And your mind gets caught up thinking things that are unclean. You get caught up doing something you shouldn't do. Saying things you shouldn't say. And you know what? When you're doing one, you're not doing the other. Have you noticed that? It is impossible to feed on one king's meat and feed on the other king's meat at the same time. Absolutely impossible. You can't feed on the bread of God and feed on the bread of the world at the same time. I know when I'm really close to God and I'm enjoying fellowship with Him, a lot of times I think, oh Lord, don't let this go away. Don't let me do anything to spoil this. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, as the psalmist says. Because when you're feeding on one king's meat, you can't feed on the other. And the devil knows that. And that's why the devil, all day long, he's going to come around to you and say, hey, smell of that, Miss Nelda. Didn't that smell good? Hey, Nelda's wearing my blanket I gave her. Did y'all notice it? Smell of that, Nelda. Next thing you know, you start getting your mind on the king of this world's meat and on that those things that defile you. And when you do and you're feeding on those things, suddenly you realize, kind of like when Jesus looked at Peter after the cock crowed three times, God will come up and remind you, hey, what you eating there, Richard? And you suddenly realize, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And you know what? That intimate fellowship, have you ever noticed? It's not immediately restored. It's not. It takes time for you to confess, acknowledge, God, I'm wrong. Forgive me for violating your word. And then it's like there's some time before finally God says, okay, that's long enough. Do you know what that is? That's being unclean till the even. That's what it is. They wash their clothes. Just because they wash your clothes doesn't mean you're clean. You can have a little time in the corner. That's basically what it is. It's what God was telling them. When they touched that dead body or they touched the unclean animal, they defiled themselves in some other way. God said, you got some time in the corner. You're going to be unclean for the rest of the day. Come even time, they could go to bed with a clean conscience. Praise God, they go to bed knowing everything's okay between them and God. But you know what? I don't want that time when I'm out of fellowship with God. So we need to purpose in our heart that we're not going to eat the king's meat. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for these practical lessons in the book of Daniel. Lord, when we read about Daniel, Father, in that palace, we're reading about us in the palace of this world. When we read, Father, about the food that was given for his consumption, we're reminded, Father, of all the garbage this world wants us to consume. And yea, it wants us to delight in it and to crave it. Lord, we pray you'll fix our appetite on the bread of God and help us to not partake of the king's meat. Let us walk with undefiled hearts to your honor and to your glory. And may we enjoy perpetual fellowship with you, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.